so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me, su le finestre mostra a tutti il mio cuore che hai acceso più dentro me. La luce che hai incontrato per strada, con te partirò, paesi che non ho mai veduto e vissuto con te. Adesso sì, li vivrò con te.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connection Sunday edition. Today's date is June 3rd, 2007. It is great to be here today because we've got things to discuss regarding the USS Liberty, of course. I've had the great pleasure of interviewing the commander on the deck of the USS Liberty three separate times, James Ennis, written a book on the USS Liberty incident, had lots to teach us about that event, as well as Wayne Kyle, who also was on our show, and I've spent some time trying to figure out all of the information about that incident over the last year and a half, 2 years, and of course, reopening the investigation, I think, is probably not going to get any support. They're calling for it, but I think they're waiting for these people to die off. And many of the people, this is 40 years ago now, 40th anniversary, and many of these people have already died, and many more of them are old and not well, and this is a travesty that our country would allow 34 of its sailors to be murdered by the Israelis, by a Zionist regime in Israel. And there is no doubt about it. It was an act of war against the United States, and it was carried out because this listening ship had overheard and witnessed things that weren't not supposed to be seen. And they organized an attack in order to make it look like a false flag attack from Egypt, or so it would seem, because they took off. I mean, who else would it have been? Who else would they have considered it was, being that the ships that attacked the Liberty and the aircraft that attacked were missing their markings. They had no markings of being Israeli. And then the Israelis come out later and say that it was a big mistake. It was an accident. Of course, we know darn well it's not an accident. And in fact, since that date, people who participated in that attack have admitted as much. So anybody who tells you from the Zionist community that that was a mistake is a liar. And of course, they lie all the time. And the press won't touch this one because they're bought and paid for. And you all know the story. The drill is the same every day. However, what is happening now is that there are elements within that report, and there were people who witnessed things that day, including James Ennis, and ladies and gentlemen, a commander in the military, and that is that's the second in charge of that ship that was attacked that day, is feeling rather secure in the fact that they were murdering prisoners of war in the desert and having them dig their own graves and then shooting them dead, and having the next group dig their own graves and shooting them dead. And this is something that has the Israelis frightened to death about coming out. They do not want those facts out. And they know that since the YouTube, which Eric asked, I'm going to ask Eric today to put back up again. It was a YouTube presentation where James Ennis speaks about these Egyptian soldiers having to dig their own graves, and there were 197,000 downloads of that, admitting James Ennis telling everyone that they were making these Egyptians dig their own graves and then murdering them in the desert. Now, of course, that's what they claim the Nazis do. And I'm telling you today that we are dealing with Judeo-Nazis, and that's exactly what they are. And if you listen to the interview that Christopher John Berkness did the other day with Jim Condit regarding Adolf Hitler and his backers and his and the things that went on behind the scenes during World War II, you will know clearly that the Zionist Jews were in charge of the Hitler regime. So to say that they were a bunch of, Judeo-Nazis is accurate. Now, the thing is, you know, many people are in this movement want to get rabid about Jews, and I want to make it clear right now that not all Jews were involved. In fact, during the Hitler regime, the Zionists only enjoyed about a 10% support level before the war was started. Back in the early 30s, Zionism was not the main choice of the Jewish community in Europe, and its greatest base of support came from the ghettos of Russia, Lithuania, and parts of Poland. The German Jews at the time were quite cosmopolitan, very well integrated, and had been allowed at that point to take jobs that earlier had not been open to them. So to get the German Jews to emigrate to a burnt-out desert to fight Arabs the rest of their lives, as Jim Condit talks about, was absolutely the last choice that these Jewish people wanted. So, of course, they were in opposition to Zionism, and the Zionists used the Hitler regime as a means of disposing of their opposition. They first placed them in, of course, work camps and made them slave laborers, and they were mixed in with homosexuals and mental defectives and the rest of it, instead of allowing them to just be murdered at the time. Of course, they tried to get every ounce of sweat labor out of them that they could, including gypsies, like I said, and homosexuals are involved in that group. And there you go. You start going into Holocaust issues, which I don't treat on this broadcast, because there are others who don't risk prison for it. So I won't bother going into it. Do your own research on that area. But the fact that they would murder people in the desert, in the Sinai, during this 67 war period, is not surprising to anybody who has done any research into the Zionist movement and the Israelis. And especially when you start finding out their role in World War I, World War II, the Armenian Massacre, and so many other horrible events, including a very prominent and powerful Jew that was behind Stalin during his reign when he murdered tens of millions of people in the steppes of Russia. And of course, when this stuff starts coming out, and it is coming out, it's making waves across the world, these people want a different story told. So they've employed their agents to start telling a different story. And of course, if you take a look at the recent articles that have been written about JFK, they're also pushing people away from the Israeli connection as best they can. Now, there are two articles that have been put out by this guy over at American Free Press named Mark Glenn, and his information is not accurate as far as the principles that were there that day. And so if you listen to the three interviews I did with James Innes and compare what the commander on site tells you about those events to what Mark Glenn has been writing about those events, you'll understand clearly that he's pushing people away from the fact that they were murdering Egyptian soldiers. And he also pushes you away from the fact that Israelis acted alone in this. Now, there was a cover-up somewhere down the road after the attack was reported to the military command, and the admiral of that particular task force, which was included the aircraft carrier America, started steaming to the area, and that's the only reason why the attack broke off. And, of course, they played catch-up at this point, and they started telling the troops on board those ships not to report this to their family members, keep it quiet or they'd be court-martialed, that it was a top-secret event that cannot be reported. And all of this stuff happened well after the fact. So it points to the fact that the highest levels of the White House were involved in trying to cover up the murder, but not involved in his planning. Had they been involved in the planning, ladies and gentlemen, these events of cover-up would have been much better carried out, much more qualitatively executed than they were. And in fact, of course, when the call went into the White House, it appears quite clearly that Johnson pulled back from blaming, first of all, the Israelis, but secondly, sending the ship there to recover the USS Liberty, and it was forced to limp on its own back to port. But all of these facts are absent in this Mark Glenn piece. It's really a piece of very shoddy journalism. But there's no surprises there, because if you see recently that they have been trying to trash us, he must be getting a paycheck from somebody, because right before he wrote these articles, he began a campaign of trashing myself, Eric Hufschmidt, and Christopher Bolin. Much of what he's written is innuendo. I hope that each and every one of you goes to what wake up from your slumber site and reads the hit piece that he did on me. It's called Wolf in Sheep's Clothing by Mark Glenn. I urge every one of my listeners to read that. You will get an idea of just how lowbrow and off the hook this guy's work really is. You know, he tries to use nonsensical allegory to prove a point that is absolutely unmakeable. And interestingly enough, the people at that forum have savaged him for this really yellow journalist piece that he did. And of course, people have asked me to comment on this Suzette thing, and you know, I don't want to get into a he said she said thing about this stuff. Just leave it be known that this person was not who she appeared to be. Was going through my private emails on my account, and was causing fights between members of the groups that I was working with, and began making demands that were absolutely ridiculous of myself and Eric, and both of us at the same time said, this person is not to be trusted. And when we made that determination, of course, instead of backing off, the attacks started from people like this guy Masher and this guy Poseidon, and you take a look at the things that they've written, and it's really a foolishness in the extreme. You know, this guy Poseidon puts a list of people we think are bad, and he includes in that Jim Hoffman. Yes, he is bad. David Duke, absolutely. Mike Piper, hands down, no doubt. Holmgren, come on. Madsen, yeah, absolutely. Come on, take a look at these people. Webster Tarpley, case closed. Frank Whalen, ho, CIA Central. You know, Petrick, geez, I never said that Eustace Mullins was an agent. Never once said that. I said that I think he's old and probably being blackmailed, but you will never find a moment that I said he was an agent, and that's a lie that he said that. I never said that William Rodriguez was an agent. You know, there's pressure coming down from a lot of places on a lot of these people. I never said Ellen Mariani was an agent. She's getting pressure too. Jim Hoffman, no doubt about it. Stephen Jones, never said he was. Kevin Ryan, I never said he was. So see, what they're going to do here is they're going to say things that I didn't say. They're going to lie about a lot of stuff. And they do not ever challenge the facts that we've put out. It's always about destroy the messenger. And it's coming from everywhere. Birdman, Bryant, who else have they got here? Kurt Maynard, all of these race baiting people. Now, why do they race bait? Because they want to tie the facts that we have presented into a grouping of people who are racially motivated in their anger, racially designed to, you know, to destroy another group of people based upon their ethnicity. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care about your ethnicity at all, whether you are Jewish or you're Chinese or you're from planet Krypton. It doesn't matter what your race or your origins are, if you're not involved in stealing the liberty of the world, if you're not involved in monopolizing businesses and exploiting people and starting wars and murdering wholesale and manipulating the press and destroying constitutional values and on, if you're not involved in that stuff, I don't care what group you're from. You could be from any group. Fine with me. Christian, Muslim, Jew, doesn't matter to me one little bit what group you're from. Homosexual, doesn't matter. You know, see, live and let live is my policy on all this stuff, and I think everybody, you know, has their own path to make in this world. But when you start breaking over the limits into the freedoms of other people and the manipulations cause me to have a future that's going to be devoid of freedom, then you have me as an enemy. And they are employing the American Free Press. That newspaper has and is compromised. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, 100%. The Southern Poverty Law Center operation has been for a very long time, since 1994, when Mark Lane took over the reins of control. Even though you think that Mr. Cardo is in charge of that paper, it is not. It's in the hands of a left-wing radical Zionist Jew, and has been for a very long time. And in simple fact, ladies and gentlemen, that when you take a look at this, you know, their henchmen over there, Mr. Piper and Mr. Petrick, and now they've got this lousy writer, Mark Glenn, what an amateur he is, can't put together anything. I mean, read the hit piece on me, and then when you're done reading it, you will absolutely laugh. It's so transparent, it's unbelievable. And the people at that forum just savaged it. I've never talked to the people who are talking on my behalf, never, not once, none of them. Don't know them. All I know is that they have spent the time to listen to the files, which I ask you all to do. And then they've looked around themselves and looked at other people's work and looked at the things being said and then made a value judgment. And that value judgment was an easy one to make after you've looked into these things. Take a look at what I'm telling each and every one of you about the American Free Press's writer, Mark Glenn, his hit piece on us, and it came out just in advance of him writing his first hit piece, came right out just before he started writing about the Liberty. Well, I guess he would try to destroy the messenger of the original truth of the Liberty and how they were murdering the prisoners in the desert, and the fact that my voiceover was on that YouTube video that has gone out to 196,000 people. And he would try to destroy my credibility in advance of trying to obfuscate. So an escroquerie, ladies and gentlemen, he is a fraudster here with the facts. And he says that the people that he talked to are afraid to identify themselves. The fact is that the USS Liberty has been screaming at the top of their lungs, and the people in that organization have been well known to everybody for decades. Decades. The government has just ignored them. The Department of the Navy has ignored them. The Judge Advocate General has ignored them. The newspaper and the press have ignored them. The only people that have ever wanted to tell their truth fully is the alternative press, and that's only a small group of us that have weighed in with the facts. But this guy, Glenn, is a bought and paid for shill, as we've told you in the past, and if you take a look at this recent work, it'll be clearer to you after that fact. They have operatives, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know, who was I? I forgot which president it was, but I think it was Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson, when he tried to reinstate the American control over the dollar, and he got rid of the original Federal Reserve, and it kept it out of the country for 70 years, he figured out that he would have to get rid of 20% of the government, because 20% of the government had been infiltrated, and there were 17,000 government workers at that time. 17,000. He got rid of 20% of them because of their ties to Zionism. I think the percentage is higher today than 20%. And if you don't think that we have that many people playing ball with these crooks, then you are sadly mistaken. Just take a look at the press by itself. Take a look at government operations. Take a look at the police departments. Take a look at the great Roman circus that we have in America, sports, and what they own. all of this stuff. Take a look at the record companies they own and the stars they control and the Hollywood stuff. I mean, and then you think that the alternative press is any different? Then take a look at names like Tarpley and Dylan Avery and Alex Jones and Madsen and Holmgren and Hoffman, Piper, Berger, Duke, Glenn. Take a look at them, ladies and gentlemen. Look behind the veil. Study this stuff. Give yourself the credit you'd all deserve, because, you know, he's playing you for a fool. When you read the stuff that he's thrown out there, and you listen to the work that has been done by myself with James Innes and Mr. Kyle, and then you go back and read his piece on the Liberty, you'll see the deception. You'll see it. If you go back after that fact and look at what AFP has put out about the Kennedy assassination recently, you'll see it's moving people away from Israel. This AFP and its whole staff are still working with Mufkafka, and this is a big nest over there. And you know, Christopher, before he left them and came over to work with us, couldn't understand why some of the important stuff that he was getting traction on was being marginalized, or why he was being sent to do ridiculous articles in Venezuela when there were huge stories to be had here in America. And he said as much. And there was... They didn't want the hard-hitting 9/11 stories. They did not want the Odigo stories or Stewart Air Force Base stories or the real hard-hitting journalism. And when they did get it, it was edited for presentation, and they eliminated a lot of the facts, or in some cases they just flat out refused to print it. Yep. And now this is just a tabloid. It's a page six tabloid that is just full of inaccuracies and lies. And boy, do they squawk loud when I tell you all this stuff. But we've outed many of these bad guys, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a great track record of bringing out these people's lies. And I'm going to ask you to look into this yourselves. Look, turn over every rock. Do your homework. And when you get to the same conclusions we have, tell others. That's all. And maybe we can send this guy down the Flacco Road, or down the Lenny Bloom Road, or down the Stu Webb path, or down the Michael Rupert Highway. These guys can become bad memories. And then when we take the country back, we can go seek them out and have them all arrested and placed in prison. You know, some of these people may just be useful idiots, some of them. You never know how many people are being taken advantage of, but I know that RBN has been a government op for a long time, and I believe that Stadtmiller has been working with very bad people. Half of his lineup is Jewish. He's got Dr. Deagle over there, who talks about cities on the dark side of the moon. He was also present with his prescription pad immediately after the Columbine incident. And we've got people like Abramson over there, and we've got this guy Shemansky, who is one of the biggest liars of the entire bunch, another ex AFP person, which we got rid of because we made such a mess of his reputation after him writing some of these nonsensical stories about the Black Pope and the rest of it. We were instrumental in dumping him as well. But see, now what we've done is we've pissed a lot of people off, and now they're coming after us and they want blood because we are really having an effect on them. And when we put the kibosh on them, because our track record so far has been almost perfect when it comes to these bad guys, they run for cover. And of course they start calling names and saying my wife is different colored, which wouldn't matter one bit whether she was. If I loved her, she'd be still my wife. But see, they think that's going to get traction among their imbecile followers at Stormfront or at Vanguard, which is, ladies and gentlemen, those are Southern Poverty Law Center programs, 100%. Morris Dees runs them. The ADL finances and supports them. And you have no idea how deep this rabbit hole goes. If you did, you would be shocked. You know, the Alex Joneses of the world who are pumping out these lies as well. Because if you believe their lies, they're going to end up in control of this fight. And what will happen is they will lead you down the path to ruin. Now, I don't do this to lose. I don't want to lose this fight. I want this to be the defining battle for our ultimate freedom. I'd like us to win the ultimate battle of taking back all of our rights under our constitutional system. And those are the rights that were written in the original document. We need to do a do-over. We need to throw out every law written after 1789. Every one. All of them. Start over. And re-examine every one for its effect on freedom. Every single one. You know, and stick to the ones that we should have had from the first place, like all men are created equal. That means all men. That law should have been enforced from day one in 1789. All men are created equal. Meaning that Hispanics, blacks, so whites, Jews, everyone should be equal in the eyes of the law. And now there's no two-thirds voting and all that, so if you think I'm trying to get rid of laws that would protect minorities, think again. That original document protected them. It was the criminals of that day that didn't allow those laws to be implemented. But we still have that kind of criminality going on in our system, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to start enforcing it. Go back and do your homework. Listen to James Innes. Listen to Mr. Kyle's work on that day. Go back, and Eric will replace that prisoner video that was circulated worldwide. 196,000 downloads on that. And James Innes clearly tells you they were murdering Egyptian soldiers and having them bury their own, dig their own graves, and then shooting them and having the next group do the same thing. And they were worried. They were worried that the world would find that out, so they decided to sink that ship. Nice, huh? Nice. Judeo-Nazis, ladies and gentlemen. Till the next show, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying, be well. Bye-bye now.